Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet the VFW Department Commander, and we'll talk about an upcoming event with the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Tuesday is Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Every branch of service and nearly 60 organizations that support military families will be on display. I encourage you to come out in the morning. Just after 10, the official flag will be raised. All active military and their families, as well as veterans and their spouses, will receive a discounted admission at the gate when they present a valid documentation of military service. For more information on a day filled with activities, especially for military families, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. We'll see you for Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is the Minnesota's VFW Department Commander, Dewey Hermanson. Dewey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Last time you were here, you didn't have that lofty title, Dewey.
No, I did not.
Well, congratulations on making it to the Minnesota State Commander of the VFW.
Thank you.
Dewey, I know that you had a great career in the military. Could you tell us a little about it?
Well, I joined the Army Reserve in 1974. Spent many years in my hometown, Cannon Falls, Minnesota. Transferred up to Fort Snelling. Finished my career after 32 years out of the Fort Snelling Army Reserve area.
And I have to ask you this, late in your career, you had a deployment.
Yes, I did. At age 58, they decided it was time to send me over to a combat zone. And so I had to pack my bags, got transferred to a unit out of Connecticut, and we were a command cell in Kuwait in a deployment and redeployment camp.
And you were a warrant officer?
Yes, CW4.
So how was it trying to keep up with the young soldiers?
It was hard over there. We had organized PT 3 days a week, and I'm over there with 20 and 25-year-old reserve members, and keeping up with them on them 3 and 4 mile runs were pretty tough.
Well, I bet you were determined to do it.
Oh, I was.
Had to show them the way, didn't you?
I had to sometimes.
Tough to do those things, but we have to do them.
Yep.
And so you got out of there, and you're retired now, but you've been busy going through the chairs, both locally and at the state. Can you tell us about your career in the VFW?
Well, I started down in Cannon Falls. They put me in as post commander in 2006. I held that position for 2 years. I went to my very first district meeting, and they got me talked into becoming the judge advocate, which is the first position that you get elected to move up to become the district commander. In 2010, 2011, I was the district commander. And then I was a poppy chairman for the Department of Minnesota. And it was that year that a few of the past department commanders and my fellow comrades in the first district thought it'd be great if I would run for judge advocate for the state of Minnesota. And that was 4 years ago.
So when you showed up for that first meeting at district, did you hear some train whistles going and the railroad was starting to get started? Or you showed up and you got elected?
I sure did. They all merged on me and said, "We want you to run for this." And I said, "Oh, come on." As I'm a new member.
And you forgot to say no, and so away you went.
That is probably one of my biggest problems I have, is knowing what the no word is.
Now, Dewey, you spent a few years going through the state chairs as well.
Yes.
And how does that work?
That's working good. Again, started out as judge advocate. Then you get elected up to junior vice. In each of the positions, you want to start understanding what it's going to be when you do become the state commander. So, you know, they say it's a learning steps, but and it is. You know, without that, being a new member of the VFW myself, I needed those steps. And to make you a better commander when your time is here to become the state commander, those 3 years are good learning.
We're speaking with Dewey Hermanson, the Minnesota's VFW Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. So in those chairs, you got an opportunity to see three former VFW commanders in action during their year at the top, and you were learning all through that.
Correct. It's what it's all about. Watch what your other commanders ahead of you are doing and take note.
And then try to sort out what it is you want to accomplish during your year in office.
Correct.
And Dewey, I'm here to tell you, we've had those commanders on the show, and they tell me that that year goes so fast, it's unbelievable.
It is going fast. I see a lot of windshield time.
So you were at the convention recently. You were put in office.
Yes.
And so you're a couple months into it now, I think.
Yes.
And what are your goals for your year in office as the state of Minnesota's VFW department commander?
Well, it's like any other commander. It's a state level and even post and district. Goal is to increase membership. It's a thing that is being said more and more today. We need to get our young Iraq and Afghanistan veterans to see the advantage of joining the Veterans of Foreign Wars in their local community.
Now, Dewey, you and I have talked about this off the air, but when I came back from Vietnam, the World War II guys and the Korean guys were saying, where's the Vietnam guys? And the Vietnam guys are saying, where are the guys coming behind us? And, of course, we've been on a war footing for since 2001, so there's a lot of new folks eligible to join. And so it sounds like a perennial problem. How do you get those new returning soldiers and airmen and Marines to join?
That's going to be the biggest challenge that I will have and the commanders behind me. We have to let them understand that without their membership, when we want to go up to the Minnesota Capitol and talk about veterans' benefits, we go up there with numbers. If our numbers continue to decline like they are, in the past 20 years, we've lost roughly 37,000 members. We're not going to have a voice in the state of Minnesota on the Capitol Hill.
We don't want to forget the Navy in this question as well, because they're eligible to be in the VFW as well. But you know, there are different eligibility requirements for the American Legion. They're more liberal. A lot more people are eligible to join. And at VFW, of course, you have served in a war zone. Yeah. Can you go through that eligibility just a little bit for us?
Well, in the VFW, yes, you have to serve in a combat area. You have to receive hostile fire pay. And that's the reason that it is called the Veterans of Foreign Wars. You must be in a war or an area that has hostile fire pay. And that limits us on the number of eligible veterans that can join the VFW. Where the American Legion, they have to serve on active duty somewhere stateside or in a non-combat zone, and that makes them eligible to become a VFW member if their dates are correct with a wartime.
And, of course, if you're eligible to join the VFW, you're automatically eligible to join the American Legion, but not the other way around.
In most cases, you are correct on that. There was one issue that we had a member that was a VFW member, and he was not eligible to join the American Legion until about 2 years ago when they had a change of dates and a conflict. So now he is now a member of the American Legion.
Well, that's good. And we're going to talk about this a little bit when we come back, but as the department commander of the state of Minnesota's VFW, you're automatically a member of the Commander's Task Force, which is made up from the nine federally authorized veteran service organizations here in Minnesota. And when you talk about membership, you come together in the Commander's Task Force, you combine your membership, you promote certain things each year, veterans benefits, and take them up to the Hill. And that's where it's important that if you join the VFW, if you join the Legion, you can add your voice to those voices that are looking out for our service members and veterans today.
That's correct. And if you're eligible to be a member, you do not have to become active. I belong to the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans. I'm a member of the American Legion. I'm a member of the VFW. I'm also a member of the Army Association, United States Army. And they all have a voice. And one thing that a lot of the representatives, I am being counted four times when that commander goes up and talks about issues with the Commander's Task Force.
And we'll get into a little bit more of that in the next segment, Dewey. We have to take a short break. We're speaking with Dewey Hermanson, the Minnesota's VFW Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back with more. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Dewey Hermanson, the VFW's Department Commander for Minnesota. And he was just installed in office a couple of months ago, and he's got a big year in front of him. And Dewey, are you ready to put on thousands of miles all over Minnesota?
They've started. I'll have a car wore out by the time my 4 years is up.
That's the story we keep hearing from the past VFW commanders. They put on thousands, or like 30, 40,000 miles run around the state.
Oh, yes. It's easy to be done.
Now, you told me when we met before the show that your calendar's full already.
Yes, it is. For a full weekend, I think I have my second weekend in November so far without something going on for the VFW.
So you're going to make it to, how many VFWs do you think you'll make it to around the state during the course of the year?
Well, for districts, I'll be going around to at least visiting 8 to 9 VFW posts for district meetings. And then I'll be also invited to a number of VFW posts for certain events that are going on at their local post. And that number is hard to say. It could be a dozen, it could be 20.
So in the state of Minnesota, to the best of your recollection, how many posts do we have open now and how many members do you have?
We've got roughly about 122 posts. And right now we are sitting at about 42,000 members.
And that's down from the last few decades because we lost a lot of World War II guys and the Korean guys. And
yes, that's true. In 1995, they hit the all-time high of 80,000 members, and we're currently roughly around, that's a loss of about 36,000 members over the last 20 years.
And you've closed a few posts, too.
We've closed quite a few posts.
Now, has that leveled off, do you think?
Well, we can only hope it's going to level off. There's always issues out here in our posts, especially when you get to the rural areas. They're very small. We have some posts yet, believe it or not, that we still have some World War II veterans that are the only members in that post, and they meet for coffee for their meetings.
Well, I hope they get to meet for quite a few more years.
So do I.
Dewey, can you tell us what's the mission of the VFW in Minnesota? What's your mission at the state level?
Well, it's like any other mission that the VFW nationwide has. We are here to provide service and support to our fellow veterans. In 1899, when the Spanish-American veterans came home, there was nothing for them. No medical, no housing, no veterans care. And that's when the Veterans of Foreign Wars, as we know it today, was actually organized. And we are here for veterans. And I think sometimes a lot of the VFW posts are forgetting what our main mission is, to service and support our veterans.
Now, the VFW, as I understand it, has some advocates that help veterans when they're putting in claims for service-related disabilities. That's a big part of it, isn't it?
Oh, it's a very big part. I know the VFW Veterans Claims Office over in Fort Stanley, Minnesota, handles thousands of claims a month, and we are there to help all veterans. I don't know, there's a feeling out there that the VFW Claims Office is only to help VFW members. That is not true. They are there to help all veterans with any issues they have that they have to have help with.
So it's a multifaceted office. And, of course, if we've got listeners out there that have any type of service-related industry that start the process, they want to get their DD-214, their discharge certificate, mm-hmm. go visit their county veteran service officer, and they'll help him file a claim. And then while that's pending, then they should visit with the VFW advocates that can help them build the case and make sure that they get a good look at their situation.
Correct. And in Minnesota, I have a strong belief that we have the best county service officers in the nation. There are states out here that don't have county veteran service officers yet. So, but we have great ones here in this state of Minnesota.
And there's at least one in every county, and the bigger counties have many.
That's correct.
And they work with the VFW and the rest of the veteran service organizations, as you say, to help veterans with any veteran-related issue. We're all on the same page. We're all on the same team. We're all trying to help with those issues, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Okay, then the VFW, you know, I belong to over in Hopkins, and we've done things for years like steak fries and events and raise money and help local organizations. And you do that all across the state.
Yes, we do. You'd be surprised what's out there that VFW posts do for projects to raise funds to help their community. Without these funds, our communities would really be suffering, especially in the area of youth programs, our veterans. Voice of Democracy is a very big program at the schools in most communities, the Patriot's Pen program. And this could not be done if it was not for funds that is raised by a VFW post.
We're speaking with Dewey Hermanson, the Minnesota's VFW Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. Dewey, I'm sure you're going to reach or visit a lot of those VFWs during the course of the year wearing out that car. But are there any special events coming up over the winter and over the course of your year that you're particularly looking forward to?
Well, right now, the next event that we got coming up is this Saturday. Our National Veterans and Foreign Wars Auxiliary President will be in Minnesota at Fort Snelling, Minnesota, old historic Fort Snelling. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a great honor to have her come to Minnesota for that event.
And this winter, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to the deer hunt that's going to be coming up here in October up at Camp Ripley for our disabled veterans. That's one of the great programs that the VFW, the American Legion, and DAV are all three main supporters of that event.
And that's a big event that a lot of people look forward to every fall.
Every fall, they get them all up there and get them out the deer hunt.
Now, when it comes to January, February, March, you got four-wheel drive on that car?
Nah, front-wheel drive only.
Front-wheel, so you'll make it through the snow.
Yes, I should.
All right, Dewey, any special goals that you want to accomplish before your year's up?
Well, the one goal I want to see, of course, we're going back to membership. We need to change the image of the veterans of foreign wars to our younger members coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan. A lot of the first words out of their mouth when you talk about them joining the organization is, it's just a bar. I don't want to sit around and talk war stories with the old veterans. And we need to change that image. We are not just a bar. So that's going to be my goal. It's going to be a hard goal to reach, but it's manageable.
A lot of great programs you're working on. We've talked about a bunch of them. We just got a few minutes left, Dewey. Commander's Project. Every year, the VFW Department Commander has a project. What's yours?
My project this year is what's called Ars Bellum. Ars Bellum is a Minnesota-based foundation just a little over a year ago, and they're here to help with art therapy for our military personnel that are suffering from PTSD. Not all military personnel have PTSD, but those that do, this is a great program. It's done with art. And that'll be my project this year, and I hope to raise a few funds for that project.
So you're helping the raise funds for Ars Bellum so that they can deliver this therapy to our veterans as cheap or free as possible.
It is free. They have a staff of clinical experts to help the military personnel with PTSD.
And once again, we've had the VA doctors on the show, and they've shown us that there's a small percentage of our veterans that have some issues, and they have a lot of way to treat those issues, and one of them is what Ars Bellum does. There's also some equine treatment programs. There's some programs out at the VA hospital. There's a lot of help available today, isn't there?
Oh, yes, there is. I know when I was up in Duluth this past weekend to a stand down, they even have horse therapy for military personnel that are suffering with PTSD. So there are a lot of programs out there. It's just hard to pick one that you want to do for your commander's project.
Well, and you've picked a good one, and I hope you're successful with that. Dewey, we've just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners today on the state of Minnesota, VFW?
No, but I feel that it's an honor to serve Minnesota as their state commander, and I will give you 100%. And again, I want to thank all those that supported me the past 3 years and looking for continuing support for this next year.
And Dewey, we're looking forward to having you on the show a few times during the course of the year, if we can find you anywhere near Minneapolis and not out in the boonies visiting one of those VFW posts.
Thank you, Tom.
I want to wish you a lot of luck. It's going to be a big, busy year, and before you know it, it'll be over, won't it?
That's what every past commander said, is your year starts out slow, but then it picks up, and before you know it, where'd the year go?
And it's all over. Well, good luck with your year, Dewey, and thanks for visiting us today.
Thank you.
That was Dewey Hermanson, Minnesota's VFW Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk about an upcoming event with the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
This year marks the tremendous achievement of 128 years of exemplary service within the Minnesota Veterans Homes. Originally an old soldier's home for veterans of the Civil War, the Veterans Homes reflect how the needs of our nation's heroes have changed and the ways in which they remain the same. Today, the focus of the homes has shifted to include finding housing and jobs within the community for our veterans. However, the homes continue to meet and exceed veterans' physical, social, and spiritual needs. The homes remain a place of excellent 24-hour physical and psychological care. With this anniversary in mind, let us look forward to the next 128 years of serving those who serve.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now to talk about the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund is Skip Kruzik. Skip, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here, and thanks for having us.
We had you on the show, I think, a few years ago, and we were talking about the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund, or the MMAF, which is a lot easier to say than that big old long word. But can you tell us, were you were involved in that when it started?
Right. Let me go back to the beginning here so all of your listeners know. Back in 04, Gene Sitt wanted to do something of the Sitt Investment Group, wanted to do something to help out our Minnesota soldiers. So he and General Vesey were on a golf course discussing what they could do, and Gene came up with the idea of he wanted to give cash grants to all Minnesotans that served honorably in a combat zone since 9/11/01. With that said, he asked myself, Denny Schulsted, and Michael Gorman to be co-founders, and off we were running with Gene and Gail putting up the first $1 million.
That was off to a pretty good start.
We got some people's attention. It's great to have a guy like Gene on board with you. It certainly helps a lot to get it going. Since then, we've raised $16 million. We've given out 16,000 grants for a total of a little over $10 million to 16,000 Minnesota soldiers.
So who's eligible to receive the grants?
You need to be a Minnesotan, keep your taxpayer status. You need to be part of the military, whether active duty or guard or reserve, since 9/11/01. Need to be part of what the military calls a hostile fire pay zone and honorably discharged. And there's three types of grants we have. We have a $500 grant for meeting those requirements that everyone gets. If you were wounded and received a Purple Heart, you get between $2,000 and $10,000. The discrepancy there is you get that Purple Heart for a piece of shrapnel in your finger. You get the same Purple Heart for the loss of two legs. And Servicemen's Group Life Insurance, the one that decides the percentage of disability, and then we give the grant out according to that from $2,000 to $10,000. And then we seek out the families of the KIAs and give them $5,000 each.
So, Skip, you and I have had some discussions about this, and you've given out a lot of grants since you started. In what year did you start this?
We went public in September of 05.
Okay, and since that time, there have to be a lot of Minnesotans that qualify for these grants. How do you find them? How do you let them know that you're here?
Well, when we started in 05, we were fortunate that the Guard and Reserve worked with us, so when the troops went on deployments, they would tell them about us and what we had to offer. And then when they came home for reintegration, we were at most of those meetings, and we could let all the troops know, here's what's out there, you need to apply for this grant. However, we miss the soldiers from 9/11/01 right up to about September of 05 because they had to go by word of mouth or hearing it from somebody else that we were there and they were eligible for these grants. The other group of soldiers that I'm hoping we get this out through your radio broadcast with people tell them is active duty. The government would not give us access to any of the active duty soldiers in Minnesota that would qualify. So again, we're hoping for word of mouth and reading about us or some other form so that we can get them those funds.
Is there any time limit on applying for the grants?
No, just 9/11/01 is the beginning date and right on through as we keep moving forward.
So some of those early soldiers, airmen from the Guard and Reserve that were deployed in their first four years or so probably have some of that money coming if they just inquire.
Absolutely, Tom. And we want them to. We have the funds to give them. And we want to, it's not a, we're not having this money to hold on to. It's all money in, all money out.
And how do they contact you? Do they go to the website?
www.thankmntroops.org.
Thankmntroops.org.
Right. And everything's right there online.
So if you're a Minnesotan, you were deployed in active duty or Guard Reserve in a war zone since 9/11/2001, and you haven't received a grant from the MMAF, go to thankmntroops.org.
Absolutely.
And fill out the forms and ask them for the money. You've got a grant coming.
Right. And just a couple little things about our fund. We have received gifts, over 10,000 gifts since we started for that total of $16 million. We've gotten them from great corporations in Minnesota and a lot of great Minnesota individuals that have given us large sums and as small as the 8-year-old kid who brought us in $8.73 from his piggy bank. We'd also spend 90 cents, over 90 cents of every dollar goes right to our troops. Our cost to keep this fund rolling is less than 10 cents on a dollar. So we have a real high percentage that goes directly to the troops.
We're speaking with Skip Krozik from Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Skip, you've raised a lot of money and you've given away a lot of money. What do you do to raise the funds? How do you get them?
Well, we have a big dinner once a year, and we've had everybody from John McCain. We've had a CIA person, Mike Hurley, a Minnesotan that was in the CIA for 20 years, speak. Larry Yach from Sealed Mindset spoke 1 year. And we bring them in, and we basically strong arm all our friends. Tell them it's important. Tell them they need to take care of our troops, and we're the conduit for this. One of the real important things that Gene Sitt wanted, and Gene and Gail, he wanted to make sure that this was a citizen's effort for the soldiers of Minnesota. So when we give a cash grant out, it's not just money we're giving the soldier. What we're giving them is we're letting them know that this is from the people of Minnesota that they're giving the money to, so they understand that it's bigger than the dollar.
Now, you keep saying soldier, but it's active duty, Guard, Reserve, all services, Minnesota residents.
Correct. Got to have that Minnesota residency.
And you got plenty of money and you'd like to give it away.
We want to keep giving it away. At the same time, though, we still have a hole with not knowing that exposure we have from the 9/11/01 through September of 05 pattern, plus active duty, plus I think all of us would love to see all of our soldiers come home and not be stationed in any far-off point in the world, but we don't see that light.
So for all of our listeners out there, if you know someone who has deployed overseas to a war zone since 9/11/2001, have them go to thankmntroops.org and apply for that grant because Skip wants to give away some more money.
Hear, hear.
All right. Skip, we just got about a minute and a half or so before we have to go to a break, but you've got a special event coming up.
Yes, we do another event every year. We do a run walk, and we call it Say Thanks Day. It's held at, thanks to John Andrews and the Boy Scouts of America at Northern Star Council. They allow us to use their site there over at Fort Snelling. And we have an event. We have a sanctioned 5 and 10K run. Then we do a 2-mile walk. We have live music with the Emerson Avenue Band, and we put on a big show there, and more for not so much as a raising fund vehicle, but to create the awareness of the struggles that our troops go through and their families when they're deployed. This year, we're adding another component. We're bringing in, it's called The Wall That Heals. It's part of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. It's a half-size replica of the wall in Washington, D.C., And we're hoping to get a lot of Vietnam-era people there for that.
Skip, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to dig into this event a little more. We're just talking to Skip Krozik from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Skip Krozik from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund about all the good work that they do. And Skip, you were telling me that it was you and Gene Sitt that were there initially, along with General Vesey.
Yes, I got invited to that group with General Vesey and Gene and Michael Gorman, Denny Schulsted, for the kickoff of the MMAF. We lost Gene in June of 08, and his son Roger has stepped in and just filled the shoes, just terrific, and the organization has keep going strong.
And you've got a special event coming up September 9th through the 13th. It's called Say Thanks Day.
Yes, we've been putting on a run walk and sanction run, sanction walk, 5 and 10K, 2 mile walk. We have Emerson Avenue Band with terrific live music. This year we're adding another component. We have reached out to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund and asked for them to bring their, it's called the Wall That Heals, in to set up. And that will be at Base Camp, Northern Star Council Base Camp at Fort Snelling. The wall's approximately 250 feet long, and it has all the names inscribed in it, the 58,000-plus names of the fallen soldiers.
So that's the replica of the Vietnam Wall that's out in Washington, D.C.
Exactly. And what's going to happen is it arrives on Wednesday, September 9th. Approximately, it'll hit the Wisconsin-Minnesota border at about 11 o'clock. There, it'll be greeted by state police, and the Minnesota Patriot Guard will be given the tractor trailer and escort into base camp at where the Boy Scouts are. And then it'll be set up, and it'll be eligible for viewing starting the morning of the 10th. And that morning, we're going to have an opening ceremony. Glenn Broomstrom, a past chaplain in the Minnesota Guard, he was his dad was a pastor in Vietnam, and he was a child living there. He's going to give an opening invocation. Roger Sitt will be speaking. General Vesey, we kind of coerced him to come down from northern Minnesota and give a talk that day also, as long as General Salato, and we're hoping for General Nash to be there, but he might be traveling.
So this all is at the Boy Scout base camp at Fort Snelling.
Yep.
Open to the public.
Yep.
And the opening, they can see the wall on Thursday. On Friday night, you're going to read some names.
Friday night, we're going to do the ceremony that's called a reading of the names. There is 1,073 Minnesotans who we lost in the Vietnam War. Right now, we are looking for, or we are asking for volunteers to help us read the names, and we're looking for people of significance, meaning someone who fought in the war, a father, a son, a brother, a mother, sister, someone who had something close to the war, and we were going to ask them if they'd come and help us read those names. An interesting thing about the state of Minnesota is Minnesota is the fifth state in the country to provide all the pictures of the fallen soldiers to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. So we're going to add another component to the reading, is we're going to display the soldier's picture while we read his name. And that's going to take place. It's going to start Friday at about 5:30. This will probably take us a good 2.5 to 3 hours to get through all 1,073 names.
And then Saturday, you've got a run walk.
Saturday is the big day with the big festivities. The wall will still be there for those to view. We put on early in the morning, we have a 5 and 10K run, 2 mile walk. There'll be food, supplied waters, drinks, and then Emerson Avenue Band playing some live music. We'll be giving away some grants. Dan Barrero will be our MC that day and kind of run the show for us. And we have a lot of fun and exciting things. We have the Patriot Parachute Team coming in, and these guys are terrific. Two of them are past leapfrogs in the Navy, world-class parachutists. They're going to be stringing out an American flag, so you can see right now. And then Saturday, we'll have that all day. Then Sunday is a closing ceremony. But as a call to action is, we would like to see any of your listeners, if they know anyone from that Vietnam era, if they'd please come. We want to say thanks to them from the people in Minnesota. We're looking for anyone who wants to volunteer to man the wall. It's 3-hour shifts, eight shifts a day. And we're also looking for people of significance that had a part of the Vietnam War that would be want to participate in the reading of the name ceremony.
So once again, this is Say Thanks Day at the Boy Scout Base Camp at Fort Snelling. More information can be found at the MMAF website, thankmntroops.org, and it's September 9th to the 13th.
Right, and the big event, our day, is the 12th. Saturday the 12th is when we have the music and the walk run. The evening of the 11th will be the reading of the names.
Yeah, Skip, how many people are you expecting? How many people do you think are going to run?
We usually get 1,000. We're hoping for 3,000 this year.
So you want to have the biggest event you've had for a while.
Here, here. We need to get these guys out. So we need to get the vets out from Vietnam.
So if you want to see the Vietnam Wall, it'll be there from the 10th to the 13th. You can come out and see it, and I'm sure they have the folks there that'll help them find the names.
Absolutely.
And all that.
Do an etching on the wall if you want with the paper, everything.
And Friday night, you're going to read the names of all the Minnesota Vietnam casualties from that war.
That's correct, Tom.
And so if people want to volunteer for that or if they want to just come out and visit, they can find more information at thankmntroops.org. Skip, good luck with your event, and thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
That was Skip Krozik from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is the Public Affairs Officer, Ralph Huesner. Ralph, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be here.
We're sitting in for Director Kelly today. You let him out of the hospital, and he's not available.
Yeah. Right. I'll do my best to fill in with some news updates.
All right. I know you wanted to talk about nurses.
Nursing services. I think everyone who's been in the hospital realizes that nursing care is prominent and important. And in Minneapolis VA, we currently have over 1,000 nurses. But we need more nurses because we have been increasing the number of patients. We're over 104,000 patients as of the first of the year, and we're expanding services. For example, we're expanding the emergency department. We've expanded chronic pain program. We are now offering bariatric surgery. So Minneapolis VA, like other hospitals in the Twin Cities, needs more RNs. So we are aggressively out there looking for RNs. We're going to have a job fair in September 16th, all afternoon, noon to 6. So any listener who is an RN, knows an RN, has a family member, encourage them to check us out.
So you've got openings, and you're trying to hire nurses, and September 16th job fair, any RNs, come on out there and start taking care of our veterans.
Absolutely. More information is on our website.
And, Ralph, I know you've got a women's health campaign event coming up as well.
Yes, sir. We know that the number of women in the military, in the reserves, in the National Guard is steadily increasing. We've seen the corresponding increase in female veteran patients. About 6%, specifically 6,400 female veterans are on our patient rolls. But we know that there are female veterans who qualify for medical benefits aren't using them for many reasons. So one of the things we're trying to do is inform female veterans that the services are here. You don't have to feel uncomfortable coming into the VA Medical Center, which we know is primarily male. There's a sister-to-sister program here where a female veteran who's currently here and getting care will escort the new female veteran. So on September 14th, we're going to have an open house for female veterans. We're calling it the Women's Health Campaign. We're going to give some awards to female veterans who've been outstanding in their service to female veterans. So again, female veterans, check us out. Just do a search, Minneapolis VA, and you'll find out more about our event coming up September 14th.
And Ralph, how's that Fort Snelling housing project coming?
The Fort Snelling Upper Post, everyone has seen, if you're a kid, you've traveled over to the old fort, but across 55 is the Upper Post. This project is about 2 years old, working with Common Bond Communities of St. Paul. Five buildings are almost completely rehabbed, including two stables formerly used by the U.S. military, the cavalry. On October 2nd, we're going to have a grand opening. However, already 33 formerly homeless veterans are getting services. They are now living in those old rehab buildings. This is pretty significant. We're offering homes to people, veterans, formerly didn't have a place to call their own. So the Upper Post is slowly becoming I think we call it a renaissance of the Upper Post. Not only the Minneapolis VA, but some other organizations are working to restore the old Upper Post. So October 2nd in the afternoon, there'll be a brief ceremony at 1 o'clock. If the public would like to see what the old cavalry barns now look like, from 2 to 4 o'clock, there'll be tours. Public is invited. This is a really important milestone in caring for homeless veterans. It's one of the largest single projects in the country designated to help homeless veterans. A total of 58 units, 58 formerly homeless veterans are going to have a place to call home.
Good work, Ralph. We just got about 30 seconds left. Tell me again about this job fair on September 16th.
September 16th, we are looking for RNs to work in areas of critical care. Here's three quick reasons to work at the VA. You have the privilege of serving and caring for America's heroes. It's a modern place. Extensive benefits, we're competitive, but I think most importantly, the people who work here are committed to caring for veterans, and I think the veterans who come here appreciate the firsthand care that they get from our nurses. High satisfaction rates among our nursing staff and compared to the private hospitals. Check us out.
Great work, Ralph. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Ralph Huesner, the Public Affairs Officer for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We got two mentions today. Please join the Minnesota Warrior Ride on Saturday, September 12th in Wayzata, Minnesota. This multi-distance cycling event takes you through beautiful lake country and supports the Wounded Warrior Project and Folds of Honor. Choose from 20 to 100 miles and finish at J.J. Hill Days. You can register at Eventbrite, keyword Warrior Ride. And secondly, I'm asking you to join us on September 10th at Target Field for the second annual Veteran Business Owners Conference. The event features a track for new business ventures and mature businesses. The content is exceptional and is a great opportunity to network with like-minded individuals. Register for this complimentary event at AUSAveteranEvent.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dewey Hermanson, Skip Krozik, Ralph Huesner, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we record two shows live from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. We start at noon and 2 o'clock at the Twin Cities News Talk booth on Machinery Hill. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.